Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 till 4, and then after 4 o'clock to go to the iHeart app for the John and Ken on demand podcast and catch what you missed. But you're here now, which is good. And obviously, the big story of the day, the circus of the day, is Trump getting formally indicted and arraigned today.
And pleading not guilty to all 37 counts. Not a surprise. You know, he turns 77 tomorrow. Did you know that? Not far behind Biden.
No,
he'll turn 77 tomorrow.
Well, he's going to be celebrating all weekend. 37 counts.
Obviously, this was a huge media event. And it is historic only because no former president's ever been indicted in a federal case like this. So makes it unique, no matter what you think of it, whether it's bogus or it's a real case against him. It's all about those documents that had a lot of sensitive defense materials in them, nuclear information, all of this stuff. This happened, of course, in downtown Miami at the federal courthouse. We're going to go to a WIOD, our affiliate in Miami. Erica Rodriguez has more on the story and who showed up and the whole circus.
Erica, welcome. Yes. How are you?
Thank you. Well, it's very, very hot down here. That's what it is. And it has been a predominantly Trump-supported group. As you mentioned, tomorrow is his birthday. People were singing happy birthday to him, along with proud to be an American and all the usual songs and anthems that are normally tied to former President Trump. People here waving their flags, their MAGA flags, their Trump 2024 signs, and basically very happy to see him here, but very upset with the conditions. They feel that this is a witch hunt. They feel that there's been conspiracies all over the place with this. They're weaponizing the Department of Justice. That was a common theme as well. Now that the president has left the area, things are starting to calm down a bit, breaking down. What I found more interesting than anything is that the protesters and counter-protesters were allowed to mingle basically everywhere, right along with the media. So you're sitting here trying to work on a story and protesters walking right past you. That I found probably the most interesting of everything today.
So there wasn't a security or Secret Service trying to keep the crazies away?
Definitely no shortage of police. Police were everywhere. There was never a time when you felt that you were necessarily unsafe. In front of the courthouse itself, There were a line of police officers with their bicycles, but as you saw in New York where there are big barricades up, that was never the case here. And at a certain point when they felt that there might have been a need for a sweep, they just moved the crowd over a little bit, conducted their sweep, and then allowed people to go back in the area.
It sounds like, though, it didn't get chaotic or violent. It was just a lot of people angry and also happy to see Trump, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. You had people who were wearing jail garb saying, lock him up. And then you had a predominant group of people who thought that this is the witch hunt, that this is a crime, that they are taking the former president to court over these kind of situations that they feel have happened to all of the various presidents, that they've done the same things, whether it's Obama, whether it's Clinton, and any of, obviously, Biden.
They certainly say Biden is, right now, yeah.
So in that way, there was a little bit of jawing at certain times between both fractions, but all in all, they kind of separated and went their separate ways, and everything was calm. Miami police say no arrests were made as of, I would say, about a half hour ago. No arrests have been made.
How did this work formatically? Did Trump arrive and see these people? Did he go in a back door? I know there was no cameras in the courtroom.
Exactly right. And what he did is he went underground. There's an entrance to the courthouse underground. So the motorcade pulled up. They went underground, and he entered the courthouse through that. So outside of the motorcade entering and the motorcade leaving, that is all we saw of Mr. Trump. And we saw his spokesperson come out at a podium, made a short statement, and then left. And now it's basically breakdown time. People are still hanging around, waving their flags, but calm has been restored.
Was there any discussion of with the charges, you know, the whole thing about bond and he should be free on his own recognizance, stuff like that?
He's obviously, appear at your next court appearance, but I was not in the actual courtroom itself. I know he said nothing. He asked for a jury trial, and we wait for the next court date.
All right. Thanks very much, Erica.
You're welcome.
Erica Rodriguez with WIOD Radio in Miami from in front of the Miami courthouse describing the scene there.
Yeah, and again, Trump pled not guilty to the 37-count indictment against him dealing with the government documents, the papers. He had another attractive spokeswoman. Did you see Alina Jaba?
I heard her. I didn't get to see her.
Yeah, she's wearing like a white outfit, and she appeared before the media while this was going on, or just before this was going on, to read this rather long statement. She is described here as an attorney, one of Trump's.
Trump doesn't hire ugly people.
No, it's another picture in the Daily Mail of Trump aide Margo Martin. These are just new names. I haven't checking her phone outside the courthouse.
He's temporarily run out of lawyers.
Does he personally hire these women, though, you think? Or
Yeah, I think he does.
He does?
If they look like hot blondes, yeah, absolutely. Or he's given the orders.
Oh, these two are brunettes, by the way.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they are. Yes,
but he tends to hire them directly. And also, he's running out of attorneys. Because his two main attorneys quit and or were fired after the indictment came through last week. First story was they were fired. Second story, they said, no, we quit on our own. But who knows? It was probably a bad last conversation because the inside story was Trump was told by these attorneys or other insiders that the whole indictment wasn't even going to happen. And so when the indictment came through, he was really angry. It's like, wait a second, what's going on here? So those guys are out, and you have to get specific lawyers who can handle this kind of case, you know, an espionage case, because he's being charged under the Espionage Act, which was passed in 1917. And those lawyers aren't everywhere, and a lot of people don't want to work with Trump because he's the most difficult client on the planet, and he doesn't always pay his bills. And so as of the trial, he had two other attorneys, not directly related to the specifics of the case, just represent him in court to make sure the procedure goes through properly.
Yeah, I saw two guys who had lined up. It's easy to find attorneys, but you think in the long term, if this goes to trial, he'll find someone else?
No, he's got to get expert attorneys in this particular field who understand this kind of federal law dealing with the Espionage Act and how you handle records, because there's a lot of complicated rules of how you're supposed to handle these documents And, of course, Trump violated all of those rules. So they've got to come up with really creative excuses is why you should understand why he did this.
The judge today was just what they call a magistrate judge. This is not the judge that will oversee the actual trial or whatever this turns out to be in full court. That's a woman by the name of Aline Cannon, and she was appointed by Trump, which is also kind of a fascinating aspect of this. She was confirmed to the federal bench just days after he lost the re-election.
Presidents appoint hundreds of judges along the federal system. Every president does.
Oh, yeah.
But most of them aren't involved in as many cases as Trump is. Trump is involved in so many cases, he's going to run across his own appointees. So there's only 7 judges that work full time in that Southern District. There's actually 10 judges in the district, but 3 are semi-retired. They do a small number of cases. When they hit their quota, they're done for the year. Those 3 judges are done for the year or close to it. So you have these other 7 judges, and then there's 3 divisions within the district. And among the 7 judges, some judges do more of the Miami cases, others do more of the West Palm Beach cases, and they also have specialties. If you're a judge that has done similar cases in the past, then you'll get the new case that's in the same realm. And there's 1 judge I know out of the 7 remaining who is not even accepting cases right now. I don't know if he's sick or he's on leave for some reason. So the computer rotates who pops up. And because of all these restrictions, her name popped up. So it wasn't like she was picked out of 50 judges, right? She's picked out of 6.
Well, she ruled for Trump last summer when the FBI seized the documents, although her ruling got overturned by an appeals court panel.
She caused the FBI's procedure to collect the documents to get derailed for a short time. And a lot of legal analysts thought that it was an absurd decision, that it was a reckless decision. And it got quickly overturned by an appeals court, you know, one of those three-judge panels, and 2 of the 3 were Trump appointees on that. So I don't know if she's a fangirl or what, but if she survives as the judge, she could do a lot of damage to the government's case. Like, if she's so inclined to defend Trump at all costs, yeah, she could.
It says here, admissibility of evidence, jury selection procedures, timing of the trial, validity of the case itself.
Well,
that's the other question. When is this going to take place? And, of course, I was reading the Justice Department tries to stay out of anything election involved. So they're going to want to either speed this up, perhaps as early as August, I'm reading, to make sure it's not in the way of the beginnings of votes in the primaries next
but
year.
He could slow it down.
He could slow it down.
If
yes,
he wants this to be an issue to run on throughout the entire election cycle. Now, I don't know how you make that judgment, but if he thinks like this is going to benefit him with his supporters, then he may want to stretch this out throughout the entire Republican
primary. Or the reverse. He wants to be convicted so that he can really hold that up as, look what they did to me.
And then you have to run his campaign out of jail.
Well,
and maybe that works. Maybe that doesn't. I don't know.
He does a lot of firsts.
I'm not making any predictions on
one
this.
One of the more unique firsts that he's been involved in.
To give you an idea of how much power a judge has to ruin your case, in the Fox case over the Dominion Voting company, a lot of the Fox defenses were thrown out by the judge. They can actually tell you, no, you're not going to waste my time and the jury's time with this defense or that defense. So that goes and that goes.
Hey, guys, I think President Trump is talking right now to some supporters in a Cuban restaurant.
All right, play it.
Okay.
I have it on. It's not going on. Let's try it again.
Trump is facing right now. We don't have to go into each one.
That's a Cuban restaurant?
That is Donald Trump. And
all right, well, for whatever reason.
It was brief.
Yeah, it was very brief. Yeah. But yes, he is in a Cuban restaurant in Miami.
I see him talking.
Greeting supporters. He's taking pictures with supporters.
Well, he's supposed to fly up to New Jersey and make a speech tonight, so I guess that'll be the real time for him to.
He's going back to the Bedminster Golf Club tonight. So no, he was talking on Fox. I mean, I could see the crawl, but it was.
Well, let me take a guess. This is a bogus case. These are ridiculous charges. This is politically motivated.
And it's rigged. That's what he said.
It's rigged.
That's right. It's fake news.
You know.
All right, well, we'll talk more about this when we come back. And if he says anything else at the Cuban restaurant in between chicken and rice, we'll pick up on that.
Now he's walking out of the Cuban restaurant. There's a big crowd outside it, though.
Oh, there is. Okay.
Yeah.
Did he eat there? Or is he just stopped by?
He just stopped by, and he was taking pictures with photos with fans, smiling and shaking hands.
That he loves. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming your way after 1:30, we will have more on the interview last night between Newsom. He was on Fox News with Sean Hannity. We got some more clips to play, and we'll get into that after 1:30. Here are the essence of the charges against Trump. According to the indictment, top secret and other classified records the FBI recovered after a subpoena and a search of the property included details on U.S. and foreign nations' nuclear capabilities, information on defense and weapons capabilities. He's charged with willful retention of national defense information, conspiracy to obstruct justice, withholding a document or record, corruptly concealing a document in a federal investigation, and scheming to conceal and make false statements and representations.
I read the indictment Sunday night, the whole thing. It's 49 pages. And
that's a nice, exciting evening.
It's a solid indictment. I mean, there's a lot of evidence. They have audio of him being aware that he had classified documents in his possession that he should not have. They interviewed everybody that works at Mar-a-Lago, and a judge allowed his attorneys to testify against him at the grand jury hearing because Trump misled the attorneys into submitting a false statement. And that allows an opening to violate the attorney-client privilege. A judge could say, all right, since you submitted a false statement that you attested to, now it came from Trump, but you're the one who brought it to the court, you know, we have now the prosecution has the right to question you in front of a grand jury, and you got to come clean. And so he's got his own attorneys testifying against him in this grand jury case. If you take all the politics out of it and take his name out of it, it's a slam dunk. Because they have pictures of the boxes. They have pictures of the documents. They tell you exactly what's in the documents. Obviously not word for word, but they tell you what the classifications are, what the subject matter is. Clearly the law, it's against the law. Now, he didn't sell them to anyone. He didn't give them, you know, to Iran or Russia or anything. So no harm came from it. But the laws are strict. Those classifications are not for nothing. So,
and it doesn't matter, does it? His supporters don't care how solid the case is.
Well, that's why we're in this weird space where these facts don't matter anymore. That's not what people are fighting about. They're going to be yelling about selective prosecution because Hillary didn't get this treatment.
And so far, Biden hasn't.
And they're absolutely right. In court, though, when it comes to convictions, selective prosecution is irrelevant. Like the comparison the other day, it's like complaining that you got a speeding ticket, but the guy in front of you didn't get the speeding ticket. Yeah, you're right. You were selectively pulled off the road, but you still were going 92 miles an hour. What I watch is, if I watch television and I see people arguing for Trump, what they do is they divert the conversation into selective prosecution.
Yeah, I heard a legal analyst. Actually, you remember Dan Abrams saying the same thing. That's what they're doing. They're not actually contesting the case against Trump. They're just saying, what about this guy?
Right.
What about Hillary? What about Biden? What about other people that held on to government documents? How come they're not? And that doesn't hold up.
You're right. You know, that Hillary and Biden ought to be charged with these crimes, too. But at the moment, they're not. And when the case is presented now, that doesn't mean among the jurors you have at least one person there who goes, well, screw this. They didn't do this to Hillary. I'm voting Trump innocent no matter what they tell me. Because the jury system, as we've known since OJ, is a stupid system. It's not based on the jurors analyzing facts. It's based on the jurors' feelings and emotions and experiences. And if they think Trump has been unfairly screwed by all the evil forces out there, then F you. I'm voting.
Jury selection is going to be key in this case, and I don't know how they think they're going to find impartial people. That's not possible with Trump. It's not possible.
And one of the
I'm not sure I've ever run into anybody that was neutral on Trump.
Nobody is. It's really a strange study of human nature, because I mean we've known about him right since we started our career in Atlantic City, and he was running casinos. And he was just this bombastic, larger-than-life entertainment figure. At least that's the way I looked at him, right? But that's the imprint in my head of what he was. You know, he was a carnival barker. He liked to draw attention to himself and his properties and his products and all. And now to see people, you know, willing to die on a hill for him or willing to climb the hill to kill him, that's just fascinating to me. Because, you know, it was pretty clear, at least my eyes, he was an entertainer. And that he had an act. And he had an act that people enjoyed. And that's how he got the presidency, because he had an entertaining act.
So the guy that's handling the case for the Department of Justice is Special Counsel Jack Smith. Trump has called him a bunch of names, a deranged psycho. The other one that just came up was a thug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's also accusing Jack Smith of planting evidence in the case.
He says anything. I mean, the stuff he says is just absurd. Smith is really good. He's got a lot of experience. He's worked on a lot of cases. He probably will present an excellent case against Trump. And reasonable, non-political people look at it and say, you know, yeah, of course he did it. Of course he's guilty.
Yeah. I think in the end, there's also a faction of Americans, whether they hate Trump or love Trump, who are saying it's just some papers in a garage or mm-hmm. a bathroom. I mean, what are we getting worked up over?
Now that's another angle to this. Is this really a big deal? Is this worthy of prison? Is this worthy of a full-blown prosecution? Or should this be a civil case? Should there be a fine of some kind for mishandling documents? You're actually going to lock a 77-year-old guy up because what kind of a danger is he? Because he was storing boxes in his toilet.
Walking around on the golf course talking about the papers he had.
Yeah, because, you know, he constantly needed his ego massaged, and he had to show off that he's the big man. Look at these. Hey, look, this was an invasion of Iran. How about that, huh? Look what I could have done. That really is what it is.
This is just such a good impersonation. You're not that far removed. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 till 4, and then after 4 o'clock, you miss something, then you go to the John and Ken podcast, John and Ken on Demand, it's called.
You got the Moist Line coming back in just a few days, so we give you a heads up to take your messages. Use the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is a way to connect to the Moist Line. Or call this toll-free number. Been there for years, waiting for your messages. 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. If Trump speaks again, I'm sure we'll cut in live to hear him mutter his anger over the federal government indictment for him holding on to those classified documents.
He's got a big speech he's doing tonight once he gets back to New Jersey.
Yeah, that's what he did after the New York.
Yeah, some kind of rally. But
So this. Although this case is stronger. The New York case is really silly.
That is a stupid case.
They contorted it to try to go after him. What were not felonies, they turned into felonies. This case is stronger, and I heard someone say they are still investigating Biden. We're going to talk about stuff later in the show dealing with Biden and the time that his son was on that natural gas board in Ukraine. There's some new information on that we'll get to. Now we turn over to the other crazy universe. Gavin Newsom sitting down on Fox News and talking to Sean Hannity. The full interview aired last night. It was a complete hour. We have some more clips. But wow, the tongue bath that he got from a political writer at the San Francisco Chronicle named Joe Garofoli. I remember that name.
There were more fluids than just what you get from the tongue.
Saliva?
Yeah, there's more than just saliva.
More than that spittle?
Yeah. I mean...
It brought out the best in Gavin Newsom, crediting him for not engaging in his policy professor wonk speak and using facts to push back on Hannity's questions. It was really kind of silly. It almost isn't worth going through.
No, but because he doesn't push back. He changes the subject. He brings up irrelevancies. That's what makes me crazy about all this political coverage. If you say something very passionately and strongly worded back, oh, look at him. Oh, yeah, he fought back there. Look at the content. Often they're changing the subject and arguing about something else.
Well, Garofoli cites two examples to tell you how ridiculous this is. Hannity pressed him on why California spends $2.7 billion a year on health care for illegal aliens. And Newsom said, and this is the old argument, oh, well, people are going to end up in the emergency room on the back end. That's a waste of taxpayer money. That's not a new idea. We've been hearing that from the pro-illegal alien crowd for 30 years. I'm tired of that argument.
That, first of all, misses the point. The point is, you made a sanctuary state. You attracted over a million illegal aliens. In fact, I think there's 4 million illegal aliens.
Yeah, of course,
in the
some
state.
Are going to end up in the emergency room.
Well,
right?
You have a bad policy of creating a sanctuary state, because what you ought to be doing is you find the illegal aliens and you turn them into the feds, and the feds should be deporting them, not arguing over who pays the medical bills and when the medical bills are paid. They're not supposed to be here. That's a violation of federal law. And your sanctuary state status is a violation of federal law. That is the debate to have. But again, everybody changes the subject and starts arguing irrelevancies. That's, by the way, how you get ahead in politics. Change the subject effectively and suck in the interviewer or your debate partner to argue about something that's 100 miles down the road.
Well, they got into the fact that California's losing people. We'll start with clip number one. And this is where Newsom, of course, did the old distraction thing, citing that other states lost people, too. Let's hear the clip. Cut one.
You're the first governor in history that has had a net migration out of the Golden State. Go west, young man.
Yep.
I lived here 5 years. By the way, I lived here 5 years.
Horace Greeley.
I was the poorest guy in Santa Barbara at the time in the early 80s. I want you to really look at this
and
explain for the years 2021 and 2022
yep.
why
yep,
Florida yep. is taking in nearly 1,000 people a day, and you're losing 800 people a day. Right. They're leaving. Yep. Tell me why they're leaving your state.
So we'll stop at three, or you want to do the whole
thing? No, we'll just answer one at a time.
18 states had declines in population. Okay. California's was 0.3%.
Changes in 70 states.
Many of the red states that had decline in populations. It's an interesting fact, and I don't see it on here. An interesting omitted fact.
What's that?
Per capita, more Floridians moved to California than California's moving to Florida. That, I don't imagine,
so
is in one of your eight slides. Let me take another stab at this. In 2021, California had 7.8% of GDP growth in this country, one of the fastest growing economies anywhere on planet Earth. This state continues to be the tenfold of the American economy. 25.6% of all American jobs came from this state in April. In the last two fiscal years, we enjoyed $177.7 billion in operating surpluses. We're on our way to be the fourth largest economy, eat your heart out, Germany, in the world. Number one in R&D, venture capital, more scientists, researchers, more Nobel laurureates.
This doesn't mean a thing. No, turn off the clip.
There you go.
But who is crunching the papers? Is that Hannity? Boy,
Newsom.
That is really, that's Newsom?
Yeah.
I didn't actually watch this, but that is so distracting. He's done this before. He's, you know, this interview had a lot of things that we've heard before. He just starts citing, California's got 40 million people and on the top end, a pretty big economy because of the tech companies and so much that drives it. We have some of the wealthiest people in the country and he just uses them and pushes them out front. You talk about the poverty rates we have in this state created by the bad policies?
We have one third of the welfare cases. We have, I think the poverty rate's about 25%. It is an extremely lopsided economy, as we know.
Right.
You have all the people who worked for Apple and Google and Facebook, and they have made millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars if they're stockholders. And they're almost 50% of the income tax revenue for the state. And then much of the state, they're living on crumbs. I mean, and the thing is that
how many times have we told you who pays the taxes in this state? So much of the money that Sacramento grabs is coming from this one-half or one-tenth of 1%. That's it. That's what's holding us up. That's what's in the balance all the time.
What Hannity should have done is blown a whistle to stop him. Instead, he let Newsom babble and babble. I've never thought much of Hannity as a host or an interviewer.
You know, I don't think he does a lot of interviews where he has to challenge people. I think he normally has folks on that are kind of going down the same path.
And they'll do 20 minutes of filibustering about the same old crap you heard the night before. I turned on Hannity's radio show once, and it was 20 minutes of Newt Gingrich going on and on and on and on. And I thought Hannity had left the room or moved out or something. I mean, it's not a well research show. It's a lazy show. And there's nothing lazier than letting Gavin Newsom read from a list of prepared statistical accomplishments that somebody at the Chamber of Commerce hands out to try to lure businesses to the state. That doesn't explain what's going on in California.
That's just
a bad question and a bad handling of a ridiculous.
Well, I thought the question started nice. You're the first governor to be in charge when there's a net migration out of the state. That's a great question.
It's a great question. If you
and then 17 other states did that too. Yeah. But what condition are they in?
But you have to enforce the answer. No. Why are people leaving California? Not why are people leaving Kansas or North.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
North Carolina or New Jersey. And that's where Newsom went. Well, look at the people leaving the other states. It's like, well, that's the problem of the other states. We're talking about California here. San Francisco is emptied out. That's what I'm saying. You ask a question, you can't let him filibuster for 2 minutes on irrelevancies. Wait a second. That wasn't the question. It was about California. He's giving a speech about other states having problems. That makes me crazy.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
John Cobell and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Well, we're talking about last night's one-hour discussion between Gavin Newsom and Sean Hannity on Fox News. The next clip we're going to play takes us to Newsom's roots. His first big job was to be mayor of San Francisco. Actually, before that, he was some sort of parking attendant. Willie Brown gave him some sort of parking assignment. But that's how he got his start in politics. Yeah, he was in charge of the parking bureau or something like that.
Parking commission, I think.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
He was a parking attendant.
It should have been. That's all he's good for. So they got into the whole homeless situation in San Francisco. And, of course, Newsom was a mayor there where things got worse during his tenure. Let's listen to cut number four.
You have stores now in San Francisco because of smash and grab robberies. They're leaving.
Yeah.
You know, Walgreens is one. I think Target is the other. There's at least three. Whole Foods is another. Yeah. They're leaving San Francisco. Yeah. Okay. So my question to you is, between taxes, bureaucracy, crime, homelessness, mm-hmm. and the homeless numbers are not really good.
No.
For you in your state versus Florida.
I acknowledge that. And no, I mean, I wouldn't compare ourselves to anyone. It's a disgrace, the homeless issue.
In 2008, you had a 10-year plan.
He's searching for his facts.
Let me play for you.
Let's do it. San Francisco.
We believe fundamentally that food solves hunger, that shelters solve sleep, and that housing solves homelessness. And if we're going to solve the problem those that are out on the streets that we define as homeless, we better solve the housing problem if we're going to have an impact. And that's why we established this framework, what we call a 10-year plan to end chronic homelessness in San Francisco.
Okay, now, here we are.
You want to know the results after 10 years?
Okay, here's
the comparison. I don't need to look at
today. You don't like my charts.
I know these charts so well. Yeah. After 10 years, we reduced the street population by 33%. You know what? I'm proud of the fact we established the goal, and we did it with the Bush administration, with Republicans. We did it with a framework where we were actually identified by George W. Bush as one of the leaders in terms of establishing not only a framework of a plan, but delivering on what we promoted and promised.
Huh?
And I agree with you. You know, Michelangelo said it best. The biggest risk in life is not that we aim too low and reach it. It's we aim too high and miss it, rather the opposite. My point being, we have to be audacious. And in so doing, we actually made progress. This state has not made progress in the last two decades as it relates to homelessness.
Why?
Because housing costs are too high, our regulatory thickets are too problematic, localism has been too impactful, meaning people locally are pushing back against new housing starts and construction. I've been here 4 years. I can't make up for the fact in 2005 we had an historic number of homeless under Republican administration.
Right now, stop! He's actually talking about 2005 when Schwarzenegger was the governor. This is 18 years ago. 18 years ago, and I don't remember anybody talking about homelessness in 2005. Anybody. It was not an issue. Simply not an issue. It was in isolated pockets. I mean, that is such nonsense. And again, Hannity sits there and rolls over for that nonsense. Should have stopped him right there and said, Governor, you're talking about something from 18 years ago. Wholly irrelevant. Completely, absolutely irrelevant. Let's go to San Francisco today. I don't know what he's talking about, that he got a third of the people off the street. Well, they all came back, and they brought all their family members with them.
I just looked up a Sacramento Bee story from last year. A few months after Newsom was sworn in as mayor of San Francisco, he announced a plan, this is 2004, to get all the homeless off the street within 10 years. That didn't happen.
No, and he was mayor for 8 years. He had two terms as mayor. He didn't get them off the street. And now he's been governor for 5 years. And look what's happened. We've got 170,000 homeless. 170,000. Florida has 26,000. They're half the population, but they got 1/6 of the homeless.
Despite Newsom's efforts, city data indicates that San Francisco's homeless population barely budged from 2005 to 2011.
He makes up fake facts. Distorted facts.
But he said, well, we cut it by 33%, something like that, he said, the people on the streets.
Nobody knows what the homeless rate was in 05 or 08. Doesn't matter. It's 2023. This is the same mentality, and I still hear this, who blames the homelessness on something Ronald Reagan did in 1967, which is now 56 years ago.
Look, they looked like conveniently skipped the Jerry Brown years, too. He had to go back and find the Republican governor to cite, you know, 2005.
Sure. Yeah,
without saying it was in that.
We had 8 years of Jerry Brown. We've had 5 years of Gavin Newsom. It's a horrible disaster. There's anybody who wouldn't want to go back to the California of 2010. I mean, it is so, he's so full of it. He's so dishonest, and he's got a shtick down, and it works if you're a potted plant interviewer. Just roll over the host with about two dozen statistics and irrelevant facts.
Just say stuff, right. Say, I cut homelessness by 33%. Yeah, I mean, who's going to have something in front of them to challenge you?
Because they know there's no host alive that can prepare himself enough to take care of 22 separate fake facts that come spewing out. And you got to have the guts to say, stop. You go to the Mission District. What's going on there? I mean, there's literally 2,000 people a year just dying here in Los Angeles, and he's rattling off fake facts from 15 years ago. I mean and of course, then he got the tongue bath plus from a newspaper writer in San Francisco. Newsom did. Jesus, what a world we're living in.
Because they love a guy who talks fast, interrupts the host, and throws out all sorts of bogus statistics. It sounds like facts to them because they support the guy. That's how people see things now. All right, when we return, we're not quite done, even though it's not quite the story it was last week, the Canadian wildfires, but we'll talk about the hysteria that started over climate change, where we even threw the Prime Minister of Canada into the dumpster last Friday because of his ridiculous comments over this. We'll get more from someone who's looked closely at the wildfire history, particularly in Canada. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.